Gerstner from way downtown. Yes! That's from another area code. Gerstner drills the triple.
Back out to Berticelli, right back to Reiner. Fakes, drives, floating runner, banking in. 1,000 points in the career for Gracie Reiner on a runner with 42 in this game.
And that was some of the action you could have heard last night on the radio and our live video stream as Beloit wins the girls and boys games and Osborne wins the girls and boys games. And we will turn it over to Dusty. He can recap his games and go over everything local, and I'll recap at the end, and then we'll move on to the rest of the show. Seren Petra, 810 WHB in Kansas City, to join us to talk Chiefs and Royals coming up. This is a Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair.
Yeah, I'm going to do a real quick redirect to wrestling yesterday with the Republic County holiday duels that were taking place there. Concordia won that with a 5-0 record on the day. The championship match duel, they won over Sabetha 60-19. Beloit went 3-2 there in Belleville yesterday and took fifth place. They beat Republic County 39-32 in that fifth place duel. You can find the full results for all that at ncksports.com for those duels. Scores are all on the wrestling schedule there at ncksports.com. So yeah, high school basketball last night. As Wade said, Beloit getting the sweep on the Beloit Trojan Channel over Phillipsburg. Girls 42-29, boys 58-29. Also, it was a doubleheader there in Mankato, the first home games of the season for Rock Hills, as Ellis won the girls game 51-36. Hallie Meisner had 18 for Rock Hills, and the Ellis boys winning 59-44 as well for the Rock Hills boys. Cooper McDill had 21, Eli Welchel with 11. Clay Center beat Concordia 49-37 in girls action, and Concordia gets a split, winning the boys game 50-44. Also, it was Osborne again getting a sweep over Thunder Ridge on Katy Country 94. And as you heard there in the open, the highlight of the night was Gracie Reiner passing 1,000 points for her career. She had a career-high 42 points in the win. Things looked pretty good for her by halftime. She had 23 points as she scored 16 in the second quarter and then got hot to start the third quarter as well. Hit three threes right out of the third and had nine already there in the quarter. Got another couple buckets, had 13 to have 36 by the end of the third. And then they decided, hey, we'll give her the opportunity to get to 1,000 here tonight. She scored 6 points in the fourth quarter to get to 1,001 in her career. She was our athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. 10 points for Addison Poor as well, and double figures for Osborne as they go into the break at 6-1 and 2-0 in the Northern Plains League. The utility player of the game from Syncon of Kansas was Addison Poor, who had 10 points. The block of the game went to Cassie Kaser from H&R Block in Beloit. Connects the game from Cunningham Telephone Cable and assist from Grace William to Gracie Reiner. Cameron Ritzke had 3 3-pointers and led Thunder Ridge with 10 points. Osborne boys left no doubt. They jumped down to a 28-2 lead after the first quarter, went on to win 65-27 over Thunder Ridge. As the Bulldog boys are also 6-1 and 2-0 in the NPL, Dalton Garman scored 10 of his 18 points in the first quarter, helping pace Osborne there early as he was our athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health and Beloit. Block of the game from H&R Block and Beloit went to Aiden Conrad, and he also got the utility player of the game from Syncon of Kansas. And the connection of the game was an assist from Garman to Hamill on an alley-oop layup there early in the second quarter, as Johnny Hamill finished with 18 points as well and 14 for Nathan Goheen for Osborne. Thunder Ridge had one in double figures, Evan Slavic with 11, as the Longhorns are 2-4 and 1-1 on the boys' side. By the way, the Thunder Ridge girls are now 4-2 and 1-1. They saw their four-game winning streak come to a close with that loss there last night. So those are the results from last night's games. Again, if you missed any of that, you can find it at ncksports.com. Schedules are all updated there. And also, we will tell you that you can find the newest KBCA rankings. Those are posted at ncksports.com as well, as Beloit's number 2 this week in 3A boys. Sacred Heart's number 10 in 2A boys after a big win over Southeast on Monday. 1A Division 1 boys, Osborne number 4. 1A Division 2 boys, St. John's Tipton number 7. Letty Blue Jays are number 10 in the girls' rankings, 182, and then 2A girls, Smith Center's number 7. So full rankings are at ncksports.com for high school hoops. Also, we remind everybody coming up tonight, we have our high school basketball locker room chances. We'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. So that'll catch you up on everything I need to let you know about here on local sports. As, again, locker room chances tonight around 5:15.
All right, last night, live video stream, ncksports.com, the Beloit Trojan channel. It was Beloit hosting Phillipsburg. Girls and boys win convincingly. The girls win 42-29. They led 10-7 at the end of one, 20-12 at the end of two, 33-17 end of three. Lead got cut down to 9 at one point, but they hold on to win by 13. And Beloit was led by Cassandra Thompson with 11 points, only Trojan double figures. Our SNS Drug and Home Health athlete of the game was Marley File, senior guard with two big three-pointers and another jumper as well. All 8 of her points in the third quarter, when Boyd outscored Phillipsburg 13-5 in the third to pull away. And the block of the game for HR and block of Beloit went to Cassandra Thompson, the Cunningham telephone and cable connection of the game. Peyton Remus, a beautiful pass to Ashlyn Knight to close out the third quarter. And the CinCon utility player of the game was Addie Budke with 6 points, numerous rebounds, and a few assists as well, and a lot of offensive rebounds to give Beloit opportunities to keep the ball and, of course, better chances to score when you have more shots on goal. So offensive rebounds are very important. And Beloit wins 42-29 was the final, and they are now 4-2 overall and 2-1 in league play. Phillipsburg drops to 4-3 overall. It's their last game here in 2023. Kayla Jacobs led the way with 10, and Beloit will be in action coming up on Thursday. The girls and boys hosting Riley County tomorrow night on Katy Country 94 and live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Boys game was all Beloit. It was 4-3 early. Beloit goes on 8-0 run, led 12-3, led 15-6 at the end of one. Extend that lead all the way out to 31-8, led 31-14 at halftime, led 43-18 at the end of three, go on the win at doubling up Phillipsburg, 58-29. Noah Gershner continued to shoot the ball well. He hit 5 3-pointers, 17 points, a team and game high, only Trojan double figures. He had 3 of his 5 threes in the second quarter as Beloit pulled away. He was our SNS Drug and Home Health athlete of the game. He also had 5 assists, 3 steals, and 3 rebounds. Bryce Beisner got the block of the game for HR Block in Beloit. Never settled for less. How could he not? Bryce had 8 points, 7 rebounds, and 8 block shots on the night. And the Cunningham telephone cable connections of the game were the 10 made three-pointers by Beloit, 5 by Gershner, 3 by Jackson Cheney, who continues to shoot the ball very, very well. Charlie Burke hit a three-pointer late in the contest, and Lance Lundeen hit a 3 as well, getting his first career start in place of the injured Quinn Eilert, as Beloit got a lot of kids in, even a few freshmen there late in the end of the game, were able to score their first varsity points due to Beloit being a little bit thinner on the bench due to a couple guys out due to injury. But Beloit wins the game 58-29. Eli Johnson was our CinCon utility player of the game. He had eight rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds on the night as Beloit wins in the boys contest 58-29. Beloit boys now 6-0, 3-0 in league play. They'll host Riley County coming up tomorrow night. Phillipsburg falls to 4-3. They're led by Rad Rodriguez, who had 10 points. So that's a look at high school sports from last night. We come back. K-State in focus.
Winter weather puts your tires to the test. Whether it's ice, snow, mud, or just the cold, your tires need to be up to the challenge. I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive, and you may not know this, but we sell tires. We offer Firestone, Goodyear, Michelin, Cooper, Yokohama, and many other brands. If you're not sure if your tires are ready for winter, stop by. We're happy to take a look at them for you. Even better, we're offering $80 off any set of 4 tires right now. That's Kiever Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit, or online at KieverBrothers.com. Kiever Brothers sells tires.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. It is time for K-State in Focus. The 12th-ranked K-State women back in action tonight with one more game before they start Big 12 play 10 days from now at Cincinnati. The 11-1 Wildcats are hosting 1-8 Southern at Bramlage Coliseum. Tip-off 6:30 tonight on ESPN+. K-State men's basketball team will be back and at it tomorrow night at 7:30 at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City as they'll take on the Wichita State Shockers. The Shockers and the Wildcats battling out in Kansas City coming up tomorrow night at 7:30. K-State coming off that disappointing loss to Nebraska this past weekend. K-State football team getting ready for their bowl game, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Avery Johnson will be the quarterback. Will Howard is transferring to USC for one final year of eligibility. K-State football team 8-4 this year, 6-3 in conference play. They'll be in Orlando for the Pop-Tarts Bowl against North Carolina State coming up a week from tomorrow on Thursday, December the 28th. Today is National Signing Day for a lot of football players across the country. And K-State, a pretty good get. Malcolm Alcorn Crowder, defensive lineman, was sought over by other big Power 5 schools. He chooses K-State. Callen Barta, safety, has agreed to go to K-State. Trey Davis, considered some a four-star wide receiver out of Texas, is going to K-State. Gus Hawkins, offensive lineman. Running back J.B. Price, linebacker Boone Morris. Caden Massey, offensive lineman from Kansas, which we mentioned him weeks ago, but it's official today. Ryan Howard, offensive lineman. Kyle Rakers, offensive lineman. Cornerback Deshaun Rich and wide receiver Jaquez Bradley Demps are those that have committed so far. There will be a press conference at 11 a.m. this morning from Chris Kleiman talking about the signees for K-State football. So a big day, K-State signing day, and it is today. Our focus on K-State athletics brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. The KU football team getting a pretty big important player. Michigan AP Player of the Year Isaiah Marshall made it official this morning, signing with Kansas. He threw for almost 10,000 yards, ran for 3,000 yards, and scored 159 touchdowns during his time at Southfield A&T, and just helped lead his team to their first state championship in school history. Yes, he is a quarterback, so there is a young, very talented player coming in for Kansas to play quarterback. So that's a big get for the University of Kansas. And to follow the signing day signees, you can go to kstatesports.com or you can go to kuathletics.com throughout the day and see who signs for KU and K-State as it just continues to, the rosters continue to flip each and every year, especially the transfer portal, NIL, and everything else. And it looks like K-State and KU doing pretty well on the recruiting trail and with their classes that are coming in. So good to see that. All right, NBA. Last night, Steph Curry made a couple of wild shots, and the Warriors beat the Celtics. But Ja Morant made his return for the Memphis Grizzlies after a 25-game suspension to start the year. And, man, did he come back in grand style.
With a chance to win it in his return. Here goes Morant. He spins. Morant scores! And the timer expires. Count the basket. And Ja Morant wins it for the Grizzlies. Show-stopping performance by Ja Morant.
Ja Morant, a remarkable return to the hardwood after playing in his first NBA game last night in 235 days. Didn't show any rust. He had 34 points. He was 12 of 24 from the floor, 8 assists, 2 steals, a block, and that game winner as he scored 9 seconds left. He had the ball in his hands, and he proceeded to take Herb Jones off the dribble and deliver the Grizzlies the win, a rallying, a come-from-behind victory, 115 to 113, and so the Grizzlies get the win. They do not have a very good record right now, but perhaps Ja Morant can save the day for the Grizzlies when it comes to their NBA season. And speaking of the NBA, let's pull up the rankings, or not the rankings, but the standings for the NBA, because some teams are off to good starts. Some teams are struggling. There was the in-season tournament, of course, as well. Right now in Eastern Conference, the Celtics have a half-game lead over Milwaukee for the best record in the East at 20-6. The Bucks are 20-7. Celtics losing last night to the Warriors. 76ers are in the 3 slot at 18-8. Orlando's been a surprise of the season. They're a 4 seed right now at 16-9. Knicks are 15-11. The Cavs are in the 6 spot at 15-12. Heat at 15-12 in the 7 spot. And then the Pacers are in the 8 spot at 13-12. And the Nets are a half game out of the 8 spot. Remember, 10 teams go in because they're 7 through 10 are in the play-in tournament later on this year. Brooklyn Nets at the 9 spot, and the Hawks with Trae Young are in the 10 spot. The worst team in basketball, the Detroit Pistons, who have lost 24 games in a row. They're 2-25. Normally, the Wizards would be the worst team in the conference at 4-22. The Pistons say, hold my beer. They are 2-25. In the West, the Minnesota Timberwolves are out to an unbelievable start. Anthony Edwards is a superstar in the making, if not already a superstar. They got Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, a very talented team. The Timberwolves are 20-5, and they lead the West by 3 games over another young and up-and-coming and fun team to watch, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So maybe a changing in the guard in the Western Conference. T-Wolves and the Thunder at the top. Nuggets in the 3 spot, 18-10. They're defending NBA champions. The Kings, a young and up-and-coming team who really pushed the Warriors to 7 games last year. They're in the 4 slot. The Mavericks are in the 5. The Clippers have won 8 in a row. James Harden starting to fit in with what the Clippers are trying to do. They're 16-10. The Pelicans are 16-12. The Lakers are sitting in the 8 spot at 15-12. The Rockets, Fred VanVleet, good pickup during the offseason, a free agent, former Shocker. They're 13-11 on the Rockets. The Suns are 14-13 and would barely be in the play-in tournament despite having Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, although Beal's been hurt for most of the season. And the Warriors wouldn't even be in the play-in tournament right now. They are 13-14 and a game out of the play-in of the 10 seed. The Spurs, the worst team in the West, unfortunately for Dusty. He's a big Spurs fan. The Spurs are 4-22. So that's a look at where things stand in the NBA. In regards to the NFL, of course, you got big games coming up the rest of the way. The playoff picture in the National Football League right now. In the AFC, only one team has clinched a playoff spot. That is the Ravens. In the NFC, the Niners, Cowboys, and Eagles have clinched playoff spots. The Dolphins are the 2 seed, but they have a very tough schedule rest of the way. The Ravens have a tough schedule rest of the way as well. They've got the Niners on Christmas Day. They've got the Dolphins. They got to play the Steelers. So the Chiefs still could get that 1 seed. If they win out, I don't think there's any doubt they'll probably be the 2 seed, but maybe the 1 seed and get that first round bye. And, you know, we talked about this before. It's not about home field advantage throughout the playoffs that makes that 1 seed so important. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to be at home, but that didn't guarantee anything. But the greatest thing about being the number 1 seed is that you get an automatic W. You play one less game. You don't have to win as many games as everybody else in the field. That's why the 1 seed's so important. People get all caught up in the home field advantage, and that's nice. But the most important part of the 1 seed is now you're the only one. When they changed it, they used to be the top 2 teams got a bye. Then they added a 7th team to each conference. So then only the top team gets a bye. The bye is way more important than the home field advantage part of it because you get a week off, you can rest up, get healthy, and you play one less game to make it to the Super Bowl. So that's the important part of the 1 seed. And then home field is just kind of a little icing on the cake. But as we've seen before, it doesn't guarantee anything. The Ravens have had the 1 seed when the Chiefs weren't the 1 seed, and the Ravens lost in the divisional round, and the Chiefs ended up hosting AFC title game. Happened to the Titans a few years ago. The Chiefs have not been the number 1 seed every year that they've hosted AFC title game. They caught a few breaks here and there, and even if they're not the number 1 seed, there's the opportunity the Chiefs still will host the AFC title game in Arrowhead for a 6th straight year, depending on what happens with teams that are seated above them. But you will have to play the extra round of the playoffs if you're not the 1 seed. Right now, the Dolphins are 2, the Chiefs the 3, the Jags are the 4. The Browns are sitting there at the 5 seed, Bengals at the 6. Jake Browning playing great. The Colts right now would be in the playoffs if it ended today in the 7th spot. But then look out, here come the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills might have a better chance of winning the division than actually getting in as a wild card. Because right now, they're 2 games behind the Dolphins. But if the Ravens would beat the Dolphins, then the Bills went out and beat Miami and Miami. The Bills would have the head-to-head by sweeping the season series 2 games to none. So the Bills are a very dangerous team. I think there are a lot of teams that are in the playoff field right now would prefer that the Bills don't make it into the playoffs. They're a very dangerous team playing very good football. On the NFC side, the Niners have clinched everything that they need other than they're still working on clinching the 1 seed, and they have a 2-game lead for the 1 seed because they beat the Cowboys and Eagles head-to-head. And the Niners right now have to be the favorite out of the NFC, and I think they have to be the Super Bowl favorite. The Cowboys right now are the 2 seed, but if the Eagles went out, they would win the NFC East. The Lions are the 3. The Buccaneers are leading NFC South. They'd be the 4 despite a 7-7 record. And I mentioned the Eagles, Cowboys, one would be the 2, one would be the 5 right now. The Vikings, even though they lost this past week, are 7-7. They're the 6th seed. The Rams at 7-7 are the 7. And then the Seahawks, who may have saved their season on Monday against the Eagles, are sitting just right there in the 8th spot, just outside the top 7. They're 7-7. The Saints are also 7-7. So in the NFC, you got the Niners, and then I would say the Niners and Eagles and Cowboys, and then everybody else, although the Lions would say, hello, we're here too. I don't think the Cowboys and Lions are serious contenders to make it to the Super Bowl just based off of you know, can they beat the best of the best? And they haven't proven it. I know the Cowboys beat the Eagles recently. Eagles, all kinds of, I think they were just a tired football team. All the prime time, irregular schedule they had recently. And then the Cowboys go to the Bills and get just blown out of the arena. So, to me, it's the Niners or Eagles in the NFC. I just don't think the Cowboys can go on the road and get it done in the playoffs, and they will not be the one seed more than likely. The Lions, I think, you know, could maybe make it to the NFC title game. I just don't see them winning in San Francisco, to be quite honest with you, or even in Philadelphia. So to me, it's really the Eagles or Niners in NFC. And AFC, I think, is completely wide open. There's no doubt the Ravens, especially if they get the one seed, could make it to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs certainly have as good a chance as anybody else to make it to the Super Bowl, even though they're not playing great. The Jaguars, a team that's struggling a little bit right now, but they have the potential to make a run. Dolphins have all the talent in the world, but they still haven't beat a team with a winning record. The Browns' defense will keep it in it. I'll tell you, the team that people are sleeping on a little bit, a lot of people are talking about the Bills, but what about the Bengals with Jake Browning? The Bengals are still a team I would be concerned about a little bit, as they're playing some pretty good football, beating some good teams with a backup quarterback.